Good afternoon, Roxanne. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. How are you doing today?
Just great. Seven books. You're a bit prolific, aren't you?
I must be bored.
Well, the old adage is writers write, so you've got to be doing something.
Well, I'm not a writer. I turn around companies. That's what I do.
That's what you do. And how did you get started doing that, Roxanne?
Well, it's a funny story. I started off as a banker out of college, making loans to businesses, and I used to, I had a bet with my boss one time because he said that I needed to look at the financials before I knew how they were doing financially, and I said, I just know. And he said, no, you can't. And I said, sure, I do. And so we did a bet, and I won a bottle of wine because I was right every time. And he asked me how I knew that, and I said, I just pay attention to the language. If you listen to the language for 3 minutes, you'll hear everything about whether they're kick butt in their attitudes, whether they're excuse culture, a try culture, a whining culture, a gossipy culture, or a get it done, we're unstoppable culture, because it all shows in the language. So I've been teaching people how to change the language and change the results.
That is fascinating. 888-205-2263 if you have a question for Ms. Emmerich. Now, let's get to that one, Roxanne. When you're sitting and talking to someone, what are your keys? What are you looking for with their language?
Well, I'm looking for people to, first of all, I'm looking for them to not have certain language. I don't want to hear excuse in the culture. I do a lot of work in the financial services industry. We do a lot of work with community banks. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why banks aren't doing well right now. Most of our banks are having record years, and many of them were in trouble with FDIC before we started working with them, and those were during the good times. Because when we change the language from excuses to results, in other words, if I come in and I don't have my report done, I don't get to say, here's the reason why. I have to come walk in and say, I blew it. It's unacceptable. Here's my massive corrective action plan to get caught up and make sure it never happens again.
You are a sharp tack, Roxanne. That is for sure.
You don't let them slide on this stuff.
So tell me all about Thank God It's Monday.
Well, I wrote Thank God It's Monday because most people don't say that. In fact, that's Friday, you know, and they kind of like to say Thank God It's Friday. And the reality is that was it 61% of people actively looked for a job who had a job last year. Employee disengagement is at a record high. It's costing more than one out of every three payroll dollars, according to Gallup. And so it's a huge economic issue. But what really concerns me is that it's an issue of soul. People have just given up. They are putting up with an environment that's unacceptable to them.
So what you're basically saying is that morale is costing people payroll dollars. Is that the simple truth?
It's costing one out of every three payroll dollars, which means as an ex-banker, from a bottom-line standpoint, most of the companies that aren't making money could be making money if they just figured out how to get their employees engaged, but they don't know how. They're doing all the old-fashioned, old things. They think it's incentive pay. They think it's just appreciation. It's so much more than that, and it needs to be tied into the critical drivers of the business. So it's not just about playfulness. Fun is not frivolous. Fun is a practical matter that has a huge bottom line impact.
Now, you worked in Governor Thompson's office in Wisconsin. That must have been a pretty interesting ride.
Well, I was actually an advisor, one of his key advisors, to turning around state government, and that was back in the 80s. I was about 2 years old at the time, obviously. But I learned a lot about how to turn around a massive organization. And so, you know, when I work with a billion-dollar organization, now we had a billion-dollar organization that hadn't grown more than 2% a year for 10 years in a row, and we started working with them, and they grew 35% within 30 days. We have many clients who have very similar results. So when you shift the mindsets of people, the skill sets and the attitudes, all in one day event, we call it a kick-butt kickoff, you can really get a powerful result. And I think that's why Thank God It's Monday hit the New York Times bestseller list and held it for quite some time, is because companies are buying this in bulk and saying, let's do this stuff together.
It sounds so simple, Roxanne. How do you go about changing the mindset?
Well, you know, it's interesting what people believe. I grew up in Wisconsin on a dairy farm, and it was a small town, and there were only two religions. About 90% of the population was Catholic, and the rest were Lutherans. And if you were a Catholic, you were taught the Lutherans were wrong, and the Lutherans were taught the Catholics were wrong. And I started paying attention to the fact that the Ford drivers raised little Ford drivers, and the Chevy drivers little Chevy drivers, and Republicans little Republicans. And it occurred to me that what's going on here is that nobody challenges their belief system. And so, you know, I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I've won Entrepreneur of the Year Award several different times for several different businesses. And, you know, what I get is that there's no entrepreneurial mindset going on within companies anymore. They've become very bland, very stale, very painful places to be. And then they wonder why the economics aren't working out.
Fascinating. I think I grew up in the same town, only it was in Massachusetts. We had the Irish Catholic Church, the French Catholic Church, the Polish Catholic Church, and the other church.
Oh, yes, the other one.
The other one. Isn't that funny? Yep. And it's so much, it is your belief system, because that's what you're taught from the time you're a little kid. You don't know any different, do you?
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, my father went to the German Catholic Church, and when they closed it down, he refused to go to the Polish Catholic Church. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's that mindset that gets us so stuck. And, you know, and it seems so obvious when we tell a story about like that about history, but what's not so obvious is the water that's right in front of the fish right now. The workplace that we have is dysfunctional in almost every way. It resembles adult daycare. No bottom line results are possible when you have a bunch of people walking around, popping Prozac to be able to cope with being there.
It's just, and it becomes a vicious cycle too, doesn't it? They can't get off their own merry-go-round.
They can't get off their own merry-go-round, because then they become bitter, and when they become bitter, they start gossiping and complaining, and then they bring in their friends on that, and then the good people get sucked into that. So, I always use an example of on our first day, our shirts are pressed and our shoes are shined, and we come in determined to set the world on fire, and then we discover within 2 weeks that we're working with a bunch of dweebs, and that they're all filled with all their dysfunctional behaviors of whining and complaining and gossiping and shooting wildly toward mediocrity. And we lower our sights within 2 weeks, and then 20 years go by, and, you know, we retire with a very unfulfilled life.
And we have Pink Floyd playing in our head, "No One Told Me When to Run. I Missed the Starting Gun." Roxanne Emmerich is the author of 7 books. The new one is called Thank God It's Monday. It is the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and Amazon number one bestseller. I love this little line right here. Tell me about why we can't, and how do we change it to why we can, Roxanne?
Well, that's one of the things you'll catch in people's language. There are a lot of people who say, "I can't get this done by whatever. I can't make this happen." So in this recession, people are saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't." And I'll tell you, recessions are the time to pull ahead. I called every CEO that we're doing business with prior to the recession starting on a Friday night, before I went home, because I thought I wanted to make sure they all got the same consistent message. And I said, "Hey, end of the year, you send out a memo to your employees and let them know that this next year we're going to be looking at a recession and the media will be talking about that. Tell them we decided not to participate. This is our time to pull ahead, out-strategize, out-sell, out-market, out-perform in every way. This is our chance to pull ahead." And I heard from just about every one of them saying that was the best thing they had ever done in their entire career as a leader. It's about changing from why we can't to how we can.
Unbelievable. Warren Buffett went out on a limb and said it's a great time to buy a year ago, and everybody said, "Yeah, but you're a gazillionaire, Warren." He might have been right, huh?
He might have been right.
So tell me about this is another good one. I love these lines. Bust the batitudes and stop the energy vampires from sucking your energy. That happens all the time in the office, doesn't it?
It does, and here's the bad news. Sometimes we're the energy vampire. It's hard to believe. And so, you know, so you want to have a conversation you can have with people when they're just being in a mood to get them beyond that. But you also need to have a conversation. We call it, I think it's on page 135 in the book, the conversation that you have. It's a four-step process, 145, that basically says, "I'm so excited about where this team is going, and my sense is that you don't share that excitement." And that's okay. Because maybe this isn't your thing. And if this isn't your thing, you've got to go find your thing. Which is a really lovely way to say, you better choose to get on the happy bus or go find a different bus, because you are draining my energy and this cannot continue. So I teach managers how to do that and tell them that the person to come back by 2 o'clock the next day and make a choice. And I hear over and over again how many people they say, "Oh my gosh, they turned the corner, they became our best performer." You know, being dysfunctional and working against the organization takes a lot of effort. And Gallup says that 17% of your workforce, if you're average, is actively disengaged. In other words, they're working against you as opposed to working with you. That's pretty startling.
That's one out of five.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too pleasant.
No, it's not at all.
So is managing people one of the most difficult things that managers come across in the workplace?
I think so. Was that 37% of a manager's day is spent dealing with dysfunctional behaviors or low performers? That's exhausting. If you take that time and start utilizing it for productive activities like talking to customers and making plans for new products and opening up new territories, you could have a winning organization. And so, you know, at some point, you know, you're always going to have some dysfunction because you have humans. We're all at least a little bit dysfunctional.
Yes, we are.
It's the degree to which, it's, you know, that really creates the craziness. And we just had a temp who just, his last day was today, and he'd been with us for a while. And when he left, he had tears coming down his cheek, and he said, I've never worked in a place with more loving, caring people. And I thought, okay, that warms my heart. Should I chase him out the door and hire him back?
Yeah. Good move. The kid's going to get a gig, isn't he?
Yeah, he might just get this gig back. But what was so remarkable is that that's how he's been. He's 29 years old, and he's been in a lot of workplaces, and he'd never been in a place where people were kind to him. And I thought, well, that's really kind of really sad. But when you create, you know, we call them non-negotiables. When you create non-negotiables about how we treat each other, and you say things like no gossip and no whining and no blaming, and speak directly to a person you're in conflict with and ask for what you want within 24 hours, and you have those kind of non-negotiables, most people live by them. And when they do, they're pretty intolerant of people who don't, which forces us all to bring our higher self to work.
How do you handle those that spend more time telling you why it won't work? And if they just expended that much effort trying to figure out a solution to the problem, it might actually work. Instead, they spend all that time saying, we can't do this because. How about let's try something these days?
Oh, probably a 2x4 between the eyes, huh? You know, I don't know that there's anything that gets my skin up a little bit more than having somebody tell me why it can't be done. It's kind of like, well, give it to me. I'll have it done in 2 minutes. You know, don't sit and tell me for 10 minutes why you can't get it done. You could have had it done in those 2 minutes. And, you know, one of the things I'm always teaching leaders is how to deal with those people. So, for you know, and it's as simple as this. If somebody says, you know, here's why we can't, say, okay, thank you for sharing. Now, how can you? Well, you know, Roxanne, maybe you're not hearing. Here's why we can't. Great. Thank you for sharing. Now, how can you? But Roxanne, you don't understand. I understand perfectly. Tell me how you're going to get it done.
It's so true, isn't it, Roxanne? They spend all that time whining about why it can't get done instead of focusing the efforts on trying to get it done.
You got it. And it's not good for them. It's a pattern that when unbroken, they'll take it into their families, they'll teach it to their children. Their children will have a tough time performing at school and in the workplace, and it becomes one of those really awful things. It's an inherited trait. When I say inherited through the family behaviors, and it gets driven down. And so somebody has to be that interruption to it. I had a woman who came out to me recently at one of the seminars. We do a program called Lead the Transformation, and this woman was at this, and she said, you know, this stuff has transformed my life. She said, you know, my life at home is so much better now that I'm living these principles. And I'm like, yeah, everywhere you go, there you are. You know, this stuff is not just in the workplace. But when you get people to be better people, they're better people everywhere, and they make better people around them.
Well, it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it, if you're always negative Norman?
It is. We can pull all that stuff into us. And, you know, I love the research. I am kind of an addict of reading about brain research. I find the information that has come out in the last 10 years on how the brain functions to be absolutely so mind-blowing, because we've, you know, what they discovered essentially is everything they think they knew 10 years ago is wrong, because now you can have an infinite amount of shift in your brain through significant emotional events, through ongoing patterns. And so what we're teaching organizations to do is shift the patterns, create significant emotional events. That's why we do the kick butt kickoff. It's wild. It's crazy. It's fun. It's playful. But it's intentional, and it shifts behaviors. And your customers line up the next day saying, what just happened here? This is a whole different place. And people line up afterwards saying, you know, they're crying, saying, I hated working here for the last 20 years. I can't wait to go to work tomorrow. Because the brain has that much ability to shift. And I really think that when you know, we as a society understand, and we as leaders of organizations, and when I say leaders, I don't mean position, because I think everybody's a leader. When we decide to start shifting the people around us, everything shifts.
Roxanne Emmerich is the author of Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace That You and Your Customers Love. Oprah Winfrey, Roxanne, is very fond of saying, if you dream it, if you bring it to yourself, if you think good things, you can bring it to yourself. And you've hit it right on the head here. Think big and make big things happen. That's one and the same, isn't it?
It is one and the same, and it's necessary in this economy. It's not just, it's no longer just like a nice thought. It's interesting that you brought up Oprah Winfrey, because I start one of my chapters on page 77 with a quote from her where, the more you praise and celebrate your life, the more there is in life to celebrate.
Yay! Imagine that, Roxanne.
So we have hoopla teams, we've got quarterly celebrations, we've got daily huddles, and all of them are filled with positive focus and celebration of doing the right things. Because once you start winning in a small area, suddenly, because the brain is so plastic, has that plasticity, it can start changing all kinds of things. And so if you're successful in one area, you start learning success principles for other areas.
So I kind of know the answer to this one, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. You're a big fan of the company happy hour or the Tuesday pizza day or anything to bring folks together in the office, aren't you?
I am, and I think fun is not to be frivolous either. Well, we do, because, you know, we turn around companies very quickly. We work with some of the highest performing companies in their industry who think they have it all figured out, and we have to get much better performance from them very quickly. But we also take on companies that are a mess and get them turned around very quickly. And so we don't have the luxury of just having that stuff. We tie it to performance indicators. And so there's always about five critical drivers for every position. There's always about five critical drivers for an organization. We tie the daily huddles, the quarterly celebrations, the weekly accountability meeting and the celebration and that all to it. But we make all of it, you know, filled with fun, you know, goofy stuff, balloons, high-fiving. So there's lots of playfulness, but the playfulness is with intentionality to shift the results.
Well, really, what you want to do is make a group of leaders of your employees. Is that the truth?
You do want to make a group of leaders out of your employees, because leadership, you know, people keep thinking that leadership is a position. That is such the wrong mindset. And so, you know, and when people hear this for the first time, it turns them on, because they go, oh, I get it. I'm the receptionist, and I get to run this joint. This is cool. I get to go ask people for what I want. I get to go ask them to be better at customer service. I get to ask them to return those phone calls quicker. I get to be in charge. And when they get that and they understand, not only is it's a nice thing to do, it's expected for everyone to rise to the occasion and be a leader and coach the people around them. And we call it calling it tight. When you start calling it tight on your values and your customer service standards, suddenly it becomes pretty darn juicy, because you start to get really good at what you do.
All right, give me the scoop on the kick butt kickoff. And how are you going to turn a business around in one day, Roxanne?
Well, you wouldn't believe it was possible, but I've been doing it for 20 years, so I can tell you that over and over again, the CEOs will use the word miracle when it's over. We've had companies that have had just astronomically shifted their top line, their bottom line, their customer service scores, and certainly their culture, all within a day. And, you know, it's hard to explain here in the little time that we have, but essentially what we're doing is we're shifting the belief systems, we're getting them to understand the implications of the things they do, having them create their vision of what extraordinary looks like, having them create a few steps to get there, and then teaching them how to hold each other accountable to keep all the dysfunctional behaviors out of the way. That's in the evening. During the afternoon, we work with the managers with a whole different way of managing people. That's about accountability, fun, praise, appreciation.
In today's day and age, with businesses on the cusp of failure like they are, how can a little bit of fun change things?
Oh, a little bit of fun goes a long way. You know, here's why it's important. You know, in times like this where there's so many layoffs and people who are left are really morose because they've got twice the work and half the friends, and so people are starting to feel so down, we have to build resiliency back into people. And, you know, what we're trying to teach people is take your results very seriously, but take yourself lightly. Because the more you bring humor and high-fiving and celebration, I just was running through the office with a bell in my hand ringing it because we just got a big deal. You know, all through the day, people are running around with bells here. We got clappers, we're high-fiving.
What time are you getting here, Roxanne? I want to see this.
Come on over.
We have blown through a half an hour so quickly, ma'am. I'm wondering if you could leave our listeners with what's a good core idea? How are they going to feel better tomorrow?
Oh, well, go to the thankgoditsmoney.com site and sign up for the free Monday morning easing that comes out. There's an audio. You can listen to it with your work team. It'll start to shift the behaviors right away. But the most important thought is don't play the victim role. There are way too many victims in this world, and we have no time for that anymore. We've got to be a society filled with people who take on the challenge. Decide to turn around your workplace. If you go someplace else, everywhere you go, there you are. You're probably going to walk out from the frying pan into the fire. So clean up what you've got and decide to have a hoot.
Unbelievable. We're busting the batitudes. We're saying why we can instead of why we can't. Roxanne, you are a very intelligent lady, that's for sure, and you come out of the banking industry. I don't think you're a stodgy suit at all.
Oh, thank you.
Roxanne Emmerich is the big boss at Emmerich Financial. They turn around companies, and she is one of the top 12 most requested speakers for national meetings in the country today, the author of 7 books. The new one is called Thank God It's Monday. It's New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and Amazon number one bestseller. Thank you so very kindly for joining us today, Roxanne.
Thank you. Take care.
An absolute pleasure. Thank God It's Monday. Check that one out. Roxanne is very, very interesting. Have fun in the workplace. What a concept, AJ. Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable.
I want to see somebody running through the building ringing a bell. You think Barry's going
to
like that?
I think we need Roxanne to get here in person, to tell you the truth.
She was absolutely terrific. That's Roxanne Emmerich. The Dow, the NASDAQ, they're all kind of hanging in the same old sort of nothings. The Dow looks like it's down about 28 points right now. The weather, well, it looks like it's getting sunny out there. It is Friday afternoon, and you are listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.